Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
As part of our altar service today, we're going to pray over all of our kids going back to school, all of our teachers, staff, those that have anything to do with school. We want to pray over them, because how many knows that they're facing a lot of different things than I faced when I was in high school, that you faced when you were in high school. It's a different world out there unless you've been living under a rock somewhere. It's a different time. And the truth is we've got to have an anointing to live in this day and time. We need an anointing. The Bible said it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. It is the anointing that makes the difference. And I want the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I want the anointing of the Holy Spirit to operate in my life in such a way that it brings power not only to my life, but it brings power so that I can live. You know, there's one thing to have power to lay hands on the sick, and I'm all about that. It's one thing to have power to lay hands on those who need deliverance and they be delivered. But there's another element that sometimes we forget, and that is the power to live. The power to live an overcoming life no matter what you're going through. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm an overcomer. If you've never known what a champion looks like, check me out, because I am a champion. I know I might not look like it, but you don't know the things that I've come through and that I've come over. And you don't know that if it had not been for the hand of God, I don't know what I would have done. But because of God and because of His anointing on my life, I'm standing here today. I might be a little tattered and I might be a little worn, but I am here today saying, one more time, God, do it again in me. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you. Thank you, musicians. I want to talk to you this morning about an anointing for the next generation. An anointing for the next generation. I thank God for what my father's 88 years of age now. I thank God for the anointing that he had on his life. And I'm thankful for the anointing on my life. But I'm also thankful for the anointing on my children's life. Amen. I'm thankful for the anointing on your life. But how many knows that this next generation also needs an anointing, and not an anointing that is kept in a back room somewhere, but anointing that everybody can grab a hold of if you called yourself a child of God. Now go with me to the book of 2 Kings chapter 2. The book of 2 Kings chapter 2. I'm reading from the New King James Version. We're talking about an anointing for the next generation. 2 Kings chapter 2. When you get there, say amen. It begins reading like this. And it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophet who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today? And he said, yes, I know. Keep silent. Then Elijah said to him, Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophet who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, do you know that the Lord will take away your master from you over you today? And he answered, yes, I know. Keep silent. Then Elijah said to him, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan. But he said, as the Lord lives and as your soul, I will not leave you. So the two of them went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophet went and stood facing them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. I want you to look at that again. And 50 of the men of the sons of the prophet went and stood facing them at a distance while the two of them stood by Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what may I do for you before I am taken away from you. And Elisha said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Now, before I go on, let me just ask this question. If your children were to ask, would you want them to have a double portion of your spirit? If your children were to ask, would you want them to have double what you got? Now, many of us will go, oh, amen, I want them to have double what I have. No, do you want them to have double of everything you got? Everything. Not just the good, but everything. Not just the wonderful, not just the godly, but do you want them to have double of what you have? And if your answer to that, and probably everybody that would be honest would be willing to say, because I am, there are some things that I don't want my children to have double of that I have. Amen. So what that ought to tell me is that there is some work to do on me. And God is in the process of doing some work. Can you say amen? So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so. If you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be. But if you don't, then it's not going to happen. Then it happened as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horsemen of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into pieces. And he also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the Jordan, or by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Now when the sons of the prophet who were from Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed to the ground before him. Verse 16 says, and they said to him, look now, there are 50 strong men with your servants. Please let them go and search for your master, lest perhaps the spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him upon some mountain or into some valley. Now, this is one of the most spectacular stories of all scripture. It is the changing of the guard from the Elijah generation to the Elisha generation. It is the anointing. It is the transfer of the anointing from one generation to the next. It must happen for the next generation to survive. We cannot survive on my daddy's anointing or on your parents' anointing. Why? Because they're dying. And your children can't survive on our anointing because we are getting older and eventually we will die. And they don't need my anointing, but they need their own anointing that has a double portion attached to that mantle. Hear me, somebody. So we get picked up, and generations will suffer without the anointing. People will perish and lives will be lost, and people will go to hell without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The anointing is what gives you the strength and the fortitude to walk when you don't feel like walking. It is the anointing that breaks the yokes of bondages off of your life. It is the anointing that causes you to be able to witness. It is the anointing that causes you to stand up when you don't feel like standing up. It is the anointing that causes you to hold on when you don't feel like holding on. And if today I'm going to challenge the older to be the Elijahs that can give mantles to the next generation. And the problem with some of us is we've never had anybody older than us to lay hands on us and transfer an anointing or pray over us and bless us. You need that. Listen, I tell you that my youngest daughter is sitting on the front row today. This is her last Sunday before she has to go back to college. And she will tell you that for many, 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 many years, she never went to bed without me laying my hands on her and blessing her and praying over her and speaking the word of God over her. Why? Because I don't want her to know the God of Ronnie Reed. I want her to know God, and I want her to know the God that I serve, but not just me. I don't want her to know the God of Ronnie Reed. I want her to know the God of Ronnie Reed, Hicks Reed, Gladys Reed, and Lauren Reed. Amen. We need to know the God of not only our forefathers, but we need to know him on a first name basis. See, I'm going to challenge young people that you can't minister to the Elisha generation with an Elijah anointing. You're going to need even more anointing than ever to minister in this day and time, to make it in this day and time. I mean, in our generation, I know in my generation, the worst thing that would happen at school was maybe smoking in the boys' room or doing a little weed. Now, Lord Jesus. Now, the generation before me, I don't know what the issues were then. Why? Because I'm not that old. You'd have to talk to somebody older than me, like Roger. He could tell you what the issues were in high school, maybe chewing gum or something. I don't know. What is it? Chewing gum and running in the hall. If that's all we had to worry about today, I know some teachers who would be shouting from the rooftops, right? Amen. But it got worse because it's gotten progressively worse over the years. But let me tell you something. The anointing has increased, and the anointing is still in the process of making us stronger than the adversary. Let me tell you that the world may have increased in wickedness, but God doesn't care. He is not bashful. He is not backed down because of what's happening in the world. Matter of fact, he said where sin abound, grace does much more abound. I've come by to tell you this morning that it doesn't matter where you're at or what you're going through, the power of the Holy Ghost is still enough to cause you and to help you to overcome. Can you say amen? But now here comes the problem. In verse number seven, we have here where the Bible says, and 50 men of the sons of the prophet went and stood facing them at a distance while the two of them stood by the Jordan. Now, here's the problem. Point number one for those of you taking notes. Point number one is not everyone wants the mantle. Not everybody wants the mantle. So many of us just want to get there. And if we can just get there, thanks be to God. Just build my cabin somewhere over in glory. Well, that ain't what God said you could have. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand the sentiment that if I can just make it to heaven, honey, if I'm going to be homeless, let me be homeless in heaven. Right? I understand that sentiment. But that's not what God said we could have. And there are too many of us who were saying, well, God, well, listen, Pastor, if I just come to church And if I'm a good person, and if I don't make too many waves, maybe the devil will leave me alone. Let me tell you, that's a coward's way out. And let me tell you another thing. You might get away with it for a little while, but the devil's going to come knocking one day, and it doesn't matter how quiet you've been. If you're a child of God, the devil knows who you are, and he's going to come eventually and attack you. And unless you have an anointing, unless you have the anointing of the Holy Spirit, you are not going to be able to make it when the devil attacks. So might as well go ahead and show the devil your muscles now. Go ahead and show him now that I'm not afraid of you. I'm not. If you're looking for a fight, you might as well bring it on, because the anointing of God is on my life, and I have the mantle of Elijah, and we will war if that's what you want to do. Amen. See, here are the school of the prophets, but they don't want the mantle, they just want the title. My God. They don't want the mantle, they just want the title. Today, it is a sad commentary of our world that a lot of people want to be in full-time ministry. You know, Brother Cash is our CAMS director for the denomination, the Church of God, in the state of Florida. And so every young minister that comes along has to go through what they call the CAMS program, which he is over and he teaches. And there, I can tell you that there are a lot of people who want to be in quote unquote full-time ministry. Let me just say that if you're a Christian, you're in full-time ministry. But what they want is they want a title, but they're not really wanting the mantle. They want a title to say they're something that they're not. Can I tell you that my title doesn't give me any more pastor? You can put bishop beside my name. I'm a regional bishop if you want to get technical. I'm a regional bishop in the Church of God. That doesn't scare the devil. Me calling me bishop, calling me pastor doesn't scare the devil. But when he understands that I'm a child of the living God with an anointing of God upon my life, that's when the devil begins to get worried. That's when he gets nervous. That's when he realizes that I am a force to be reckoned with, not because of my title, but because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. When you begin to talk about my big brother, and when I come to the battle, I don't come alone. I come with God the Father, and I come with God the Son. I come with God the Holy Ghost. And when I come for a fight, you got to recognize, devil, you're not just fighting me. You're fighting everything that God represents. Oh, come on, give him praise. A lot of people want a degree from seminary, but they have no desire for an anointing. No concern for their generation. They're unwilling to go the extra miles to receive all that God has for them. I heard a recent report that our denomination is in the midst of a crisis of calling, because there are people who want a title. And I'm so sick of folks who are drunk on titles. Now, listen, let me just go on record. I believe in all fivefold offices of ministry. I believe in the prophets. I believe in apostles. I believe in pastors, teachers, and evangelists. However, I don't believe that everybody that calls themselves one is. And people are drunk on title. What's your title? Well, I'm prophetess. I'm prophet. I'm apostle. I'm pastor. I'm bishop. I'm teacher. I'm evangelist. I'm minister. Everybody wants a title. But God, Jesus was not into titles. He was into towels. What do you mean? I mean, he washed feet before he ever washed sin. We got folks calling themselves an apostle, got 12 people in their church. Got 4 on the security team. 3 ushers, 4 greeters, and 1 in the congregation. And they want to call themselves apostle. I'm not saying that they got to be a big church. I'm just trying to tell us and for us to understand that we've got to get beyond having a title. I don't care if if nobody knows my name, as long as Jesus knows my name and the power of hell knows my name. See, a lot of people like to minister, but to carry the anointing, I don't know. We like to get up on stage, but are you willing to pay the price to fight for God is another story. The school of the prophets were a group like that. They wanted it close enough to the anointing to see it, but not close enough to the anointing to wear it. Oh, help me somebody. Why? Because seeing the anointing is one thing. Wearing the anointing is altogether something different. Seeing the anointing, you can see it from a distance, but it won't change you. It won't cause a change to be on you. People won't look at you any different if all you do is see it. But when you begin to wear it, let me tell you something. When you begin to wear the mantle of an anointing, the devil understands who you are. You get a big old bull's eye on your back when you put on the anointing of the Holy Ghost. But I've got news for you. It is the anointing that fights for you. It is the anointing that goes before you. It is the anointing that surrounds you. It is the anointing. So if you're going to just look at it, don't just look at it. Reach up and grab it. And begin to wear it, because that's what God has it for you. He has the spirit of the living God so that you can walk and wear an anointing. Look at verse number 12. Verse number 12 says this, and Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen. So he saw it him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into pieces. Point number 2 is this, your old garments won't work. Your old tricks won't work. Your old garments won't work. I don't know how much anointing Elisha had in his clothing, but he realized it wasn't enough. He needed the mantle of Elijah with the promise of the double portion attached to that mantle. See, the problem is we want to rely on what used to work. We want to rely on what used to work and realizing what used to work might not be working now. What used to be good enough? What used to be okay? But now God's trying to give you a new mantle, a mantle of Elijah that has a double portion attached to it. We're in the midst of a cultural clash. In denominational churches between traditional and progression. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean that I believe that there must be a little give and take on both generations for there to be successful ministry. I mean that Elisha didn't try to operate without Elijah's mantle. What do you mean, Pastor? I'm telling you that we don't need to throw out. I know young people who think that the older people are irrelevant and the old people can't stand some of the things that are going on in the younger generation. But can I tell you that you need the vision of the young and the strength of the old, and you need to come together like Samson did. Samson, he was the old, but he got a young man who had vision, and he said, put my hands where the pillars are. And as he put them there, he did more in that one act, because there was a culmination of the young and the old. I've come by to tell you that, bless God, we got to come together. I've come by to let you know that God has a move in store for you, that God wants you involved in it. It's not just your generation. It's a kingdom thing that we got to understand, that Jesus is coming back. We need the power of Elijah, and we need the strength of Elisha in order to do the work that God's called us to do. Well, I'll tell you, Pastor, I just ain't sure about this younger generation. Like you didn't have nothing to do with it. They are the way they are because we taught them. Or didn't teach them. See, today I see some progressive young pastors who see all people as Elijah's generation as disposable. Well, but pastor, come on now. Let's talk about it. I mean, Sister Taylor, she's been around for a while. What can Sister Taylor do? I mean, come on, she can't run no more. Have you ever seen her get out and walk? She just comes. Now, she drives like a young person. Good Lord Jesus. She drives fast all the time. I don't know if it's because she can't see the, you might not can see the speed or something, but you drive look crazy. I'm going to tell you right now. I pray when you get on the roads that I'm not on the roads. But anyway, what can Sister, we need the prayer warrior voice of Sister Taylor. I don't know about you, but I don't care anything else she can do, but I want her praying for me. When she gets up in the morning, I want her praying for, she might not can bake a cake no more. She might not can do the things that she once did, but there is still power in her life. And that is to pray for this generation. Pray for my generation. There is still value. See, they say out with the old, in with the new. We've even seen some young people who had a bad attitude toward anything traditional, anything fundamental. But let me tell you this, church. You cannot throw out of the window, you can't throw history out of the window while reaching for your destiny. You got to remember from where you came from so that you can appreciate where you're headed. You got to understand where you've been to and where you come from to, in order to understand where you are today. You can't realize your future without consulting your past. And I believe that every church should have an Elijah's mantle with Elisha's portion. Did you hear me? We need Elijah's mantle with Elisha's portion. We should experience the new blended with the old. That it should be able to minister from 1 to 100, if not your gospel is weak. On the other hand, you can't operate in Elijah's anointing without Elisha's double portion attached to it. You need the double portion attached to it. Because why? Because it's a new day that we live in. This generation is different, and our methods are of reaching them must change. You know, some people say, well, some people may tell the story. Don't tell me like, they say, Pastor, I don't like this new methodology. You know, this evening, we're taking over the roller rink at the roller barn in Inverness, and our church has rented out the skating ring, and it's just going to be our people. Well, Pastor, I don't like that. Then don't come. But let me tell you something. If you like the next generation, and if you want to see the next generation succeed, then you need to be there. Why? Because they need your encouragement. They need your strength. They need your wisdom. They need you in their life. You know, I thought that once my children got of age, I've got a 23-year-old and now an 18-year-old about to be 19. But I have those now. And I thought once they got to that age, they wouldn't need you anymore. Hogwash. They need me more today than they did then. They're always calling me, asking me questions about life. And what would it be for me to turn my back on them now? Well, you're old enough. You shouldn't need my advice anymore. Thank God that they're looking for my advice. Why? Check it out. Listen to this principle. A wise man learns from his mistakes. A wiser man learns from somebody else's mistakes. I don't want to have to go through the situations that my dad did. If he can help me from making the same mistakes, I'm going to make my own. I don't need to make the ones that I made and the ones that my dad made. Help me, church. You see, my response is this. I see some churches who are unwilling to change anything to the point that they have declined to a small group of older people who even question their purposes of meeting anymore. I remember when I first came here. When I first came here 22 years ago, I was the youngest person in the church. We had 2 children. They were 9 and about 7. But my wife and I were the youngest couple in the church. We were the only ones that had a baby. We were the youngest couple. They were just a few funerals away from closing the church. Now you think I'm kidding. We had one couple in their 20s. That was me and my wife. We had another couple in their 30s. That was Bill and Teresa Gwaltney. We had another couple in their 40s who was Mark and Joyce Grider. Another couple who was almost 50 who was the Daniels. And then everybody over that was 60, 70, and 80. And I'm going to tell you that they didn't like everything that I began to do. But here's what they said. They said, Pastor, we don't like some of the things you're doing. Well, no, I made the mistake of asking an 82-year-old what she thought. Let me give you some advice. If you don't want to know what an 82-year-old thinks, you better not ask them. Because if you ask, they're going to tell you. Most time they're going to tell you even before you ask. But anyway, I asked and she told me. She said, I'll tell you right now, Pastor. She said, I don't like this new music y'all doing. She said, I'll tell you right now, I don't like everybody getting excited and clapping and everything. I can't hear what you're saying. I can tell you this. I don't like the way some people dress when they come in here. I can tell you this. And she just began to give me a whole list of stuff she didn't like. I begin to wonder if there's anything that you do like. But then at the conclusion of everything that she listed she didn't like, a tear began to come out of her eye. She said, Pastor, it ain't about me. She said, I, this is what I have prayed for all of my life. She said, families are getting back together. Folks are getting saved. People are getting filled with the Holy Ghost. Lives are being touched. Lives are being healed. She said, it's not about me. She said, it's about what God's going to do. And she says, so I love what God is doing, even though it might not be my style. Whew. That's good preaching. Oh, I got to hurry. My Lord Jesus, I got to hurry. I believe you must keep the standards of holiness, but be willing to make changes that are relevant in reaching society. If a pizza night, a coffee house, a concert, a beach retreat, etc., will bring people to Christ, then I'm all for it. But not diluting the message or the standard. Paul said he would become all things to all men, that by all means he could be saved some. The modern day translation is this. We will try to get them any way we can as long as it doesn't go against our standards or our doctrines. We're going to go after the lost. We want folks to get saved. I want you to know that there is joy unspeakable. I want you to know the devil come to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Point number three, I got to hurry. I got one more point. I got to hurry. Elisha's. And the point number three, Elisha's anointing must be stronger because his generation is harder to reach. Every generation is different. Every generation becomes more full of doubt, more harder to reach, more unwilling to follow. I see it even in the schools of the prophet. It's like that they represent our world today. They're standing on the bank saying, you better part the waters if you want us to follow you. Well, let's see what Elisha's got now. And it took him parting the water, and when he parted the water, then they came and bowed down and said, the anointing of Elijah rests on you. Let me tell you something, church. I'm all for hip music, and I want us to be hip. I mean, you know, I don't know if you've seen our latest video. That was cool. I laughed through the whole thing. If you haven't, go on Facebook, check it out, Crystal River Church of God. It's a funny, I was planning on showing it, but we don't have time. It's a great hip. It's just funny. I'm sure somebody's going to be offended. Well, you know, just get in line. However, I think a big problem that we see in this new age is that we have more talent than ever. We have more abilities than ever, but it's going to take a stronger anointing to reach this generation. Let me tell you something. I'm thankful for all the good things that we have, but the one thing that we cannot forget, it is not talent, it is not it is not showmanship, but it is the anointing of the Holy Ghost that makes the difference. Are you hearing me? This generation is a drug-induced generation, a humanistic, hedonistic society. It is an evil generation. It will take the power and the anointing that breaks the chains. change. It will take the mantle or a mantle of deliverance for us to set people free. We need the power of the anointing. We don't need more resolve. We need more God. Point number four is this. My question, who will pick up the mantle today? Who will pick up the mantle? Elisha said, I want a double portion. And Elijah said, if you see me. You know what that means? That means you want to stay close to me. You want to stay close. If you see me when I leave, you can't be all distracted. You can't be off and you can't be done left field. You got to see me. You got to be close to me. Elijah's mantle had fallen. And let me tell you that it fell at Azusa Street. It fell from Catherine Kuhlman's ministry. It fell from Smith Wigglesworth. And there are more mantles today that are laying on the ground that people have not picked up because they said, I see the anointing. I see the mantles. But I'm just not sure if I'm willing to pick it up. And I believe that if we could see in the spirit realm, we would see mantles laying all over the proverbial floor, waiting for somebody to pick up the mantle and say, God, I'll wear the mantle. God, I want the mantle on my life. Who is going to do it today? People have felt the call. Give me my next slide. Where am I at? People have felt the call, but have been unwilling to follow. I'm not sure what it's going to cost me. I kind of enjoy my life, Pastor. You know, if I really pick up the call, I might have to pray more. I might have to go to church more. If I really pick up the anointing that God has for me, I don't want it to make me like you, Pastor. Let me tell you this. Don't pick up the mantle unless you're willing to wear it. Let me tell you one more thing. Some of you the mantle fell years ago and you didn't pick it up. Let me tell you, there it's still laying there for you. The Bible says the gifts and call of God are without repentance. I don't care how long you waited. I don't care how long you've been away. I don't care how long God's not going to pick it up for you. He said, I have given you the ability. I'll never forget. Oh, God, good Lord, I got to hurry. But let me just tell you this, though. I'll never forget, Pastor. My first revival I ever ran, I was in Columbus, Louisiana, right next to Monroe, Louisiana. And I was in the church praying. My mom had died. She'd been dead for a few years. And I was praying in the church. And I don't want to get too spooky for some of you. But let me tell you what I saw. Here's what I saw. I saw something just coming down. And I saw it in the spirit. I didn't physically see it, but I saw it in the spirit. And you know what happened? It came around my shoulders. And the Lord said, the mantle your mother wore is now falling upon you. And I said, hallelujah to God. I can tell you something changed on me that day. I can tell you something happened to me that day. I wish I could tell you that I've never tried to take it off, but I have. I wish I could tell you that I haven't tried to lay it to the side, because I have. Why? Because the anointing will cost you. But the rewards outweigh the cost. Can you imagine the Bible without Elisha? It's a scary thought to think that Elijah moves on and the next generation only has the school of the prophets doing their ministry. Come on, Dennis. It's a scary thing. I don't want just, you know, I know that we're kind of an anomaly. I know, you know, I've been ridiculed for the last 20 years. People have told me that if I would just calm down, quit sweating on everybody and spitting on the first three rows, that people would feel a little bit more comfortable coming to our church. I don't want you feeling comfortable just coming to church. I want to evoke in you change. Why? Because this next generation can't make it without the anointing. The next generation. Now, listen, I know we Pentecostals, we can get weird. And I know sometimes people get weird without the anointing. Sometimes people get weird and blame it on the anointing. Now, the anointing sometimes is a little weird, but sometimes people just get weird and blame it on the anointing. Why? Because they're weird. I want you to stand to your feet. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to pray over our students. They're going to bring them in. But before we do that, I want to ask you, are you willing to pick up your mantle? As you pick it up, come on, just stand down here. Just stand down here. Kira laboso. Now, I know we don't have enough for everybody. I know that. But if you see one, you're willing to pick it up, then pick it up. Whoop.
Anointing, fall on me. Anointing, fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me, anointing fall on me.
Come on, let that just sink in for a moment.
Anointing fall on me, anointing fall on me. Let the power. My hand, my mouth, and my heart. Fill my life, Lord, every part. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing, fall on me.
Touch my hand.
And my heart,
fill my life,
fill my life, Lord, take every part. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me, anointing fall on me, anointing.
I want you to bring the kids, Terrence. I want you to bring them right up front. Especially those that are here. Don't go to your seat yet. Just hang with us. The Holy Ghost fall on me. Anointing fall on me. Now, if you're here this morning, you're going back to school, whether it be high school, middle school, college, elementary school. Come on, I want you to come up here. If you are a teacher, if you're going to be working in the school system in any capacity, I want you to come. Hallelujah, anointing, fall on me. Where you at, William? William? Terrence? I want us to lay hands on every person that's down here. And I pray for the power of the Holy Ghost. I pray for the Spirit and the mantle of Elisha. Let the double portion of Elisha be upon them in the name of Jesus. God, I pray over our students in the name of Jesus. I pray Psalms 91 over their life, that nothing shall come nigh their dwelling that is not of you. God, I pray that God is, I want you to look up here at me for just a moment. Here's what I want you to do. Some of you are not going to want to do it, but it's all right. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to lift up your hands like this and say, Lord, come on, everybody say it with me. Say, Lord, help me this week. Help me this year to be the best student in the whole class, because I belong to you, and I'm smart, and I am beautiful, I am brilliant, and I'm a child of God. Help me to be your witness in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on, give Jesus a hand. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.